Christ was carrying this out according to the will of God, according to a predetermined plan and purpose of God, that you would be included in a future eternal kingdom where you would be part of the bride of Christ with Him forever.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright. You know, when we put our faith in Christ, the guilt has been removed from our account, and God has deposited the perfect righteousness of Christ, all because of the perfect life lived and the sacrifice Christ made on our behalf. Today, Pastor Don Green concludes the series titled, He Gave Himself. Don will cover chapter 1, the first 5 verses. So let's join our teacher now with insights from God's Word on the Truth Pulpit.
How can it be, beloved, how can it be that those of us who had nothing but undeserving demerit on our account found ourselves to be on the receiving end of grace and peace? Grace communicates the idea of undeserved favor. Peace refers to spiritual well-being that flows from a right relationship with God. What Paul here, as he writes to the churches in Galatia, is saying, he opens up with this greeting and in a sense, prays for them to know the reality of the grace and peace of God on their lives. The fact that any grace, that any peace is available from God is a testimony to the greatness of His mercy, the greatness of His grace, and the overwhelming, indescribable love and the well-intentioned goodness of God towards you. That's what we remember at the table. You know, grace is necessary because you were separated from God in sin and under the bondage of Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, it says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving so that they will not see the gospel of Christ. You see, it's not just that you were guilty. It's that Satan was actively working to keep you from a knowledge of Christ. He was blinding your eyes to the gospel. That's why for so many of you, your testimony is, I heard the gospel so many times and I have never understood it. It never registered with me until one day the Lord opened my eyes. Well, why was that? Well, you were dead in sin and Satan was blinding your eyes and there was nothing that you could do about it. You see, beloved, you have to have an appreciation for how spiritually helpless you were apart from Christ. You had no ability to understand. Scripture says there's no one who understands, Romans 3. You were not seeking for God because no one seeks for Him. You had no ability, no capacity to receive truth. And there was nothing that you were able to do of your own strength and of your own merit in order to commend yourself to God. You were lost. You were miserably, hopelessly lost. And there was no way to find yourself out. If you can remember being a kid, being lost in a department store, not being able to find your mother, being lost in the woods and turning around, and where do I go? I don't know where I'm at. That's a small measure, small sense of where you were at spiritually. When you look at verse 4, if you would, Paul mentions the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of verse 3, and he can't help himself, but he goes and expands on who Christ is and what he did. And in verse 4, having said the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, who? And so in this relative clause, Paul is going to describe the Lord Jesus Christ by what he did for us. And it's such sweet words. In verse 4, look at it with me. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, what did he do? He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. In this verse, Paul describes two aspects of the work of Christ. that answer the problem with man, the problem of man. And these are going to be simple things that are not anything new for you to hear, but in a sense, it's always fresh to the believing heart. This is the fountain of life for us, the things that we're about to see here from verse 4. What did Christ do? What's the answer of Christ to the problem of man? Well, first of all, Christ took the penalty of your sin. Christ took the penalty of your sin. He paid it. And beloved, you have to understand something. Something really basic, really fundamental. I love to speak in first principles, in those things which are essential and by which everything else is determined. There is a way of salvation that God has provided. God has provided a way of salvation. But you must understand that it is not God's will for you to try to earn your salvation with your good works, by trying to be good, by trying to cover up your sin and balancing out the scale by deeds of charity or trying to do good things or going through religious rituals or giving money to a church or promising to do better or weeping tears of repentance that are separated and divorced from any faith in Christ. You cannot cry enough tears to wash away your sins. You cannot give enough money to buy yourself out of the devil's domination. There was nothing for you to do, and that is not God's will for you to be saved by anything done by your hands. Look at chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. Three times in this single verse, Paul says that your works cannot save you. In verse 15, we can start at, we are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles, nevertheless knowing that a man, here it is, the problem with man, a man is not justified by the works of the law. To be justified is to be declared righteous in the presence of God. For God to declare you righteous, that's the idea. It's a legal term. A man who is justified is a one who is declared to have met the demands of the law. And what this verse is saying is that you do not attain that righteous standing by your obedience, by the things that you do. That is not God's will. Rather, it is through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ. Faith in Christ, believe in Christ, faith in Christ. That alone can save you. Paul goes on and repeats the negative aspect of the equation, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. You know, when you realize that you have this spiritual problem, the spiritual alienation from God, when that starts to settle in on your mind, you must realize that there is nothing that you can do to save yourself from that dilemma. You must realize that Scripture says again and again and again, not by works, not by what you do. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 would reinforce that. And it is not God's will for you to be saved by any good works. Beloved, only the death of Christ can wash away your sins. Only the death of Christ atones for sin. And that's what Paul is saying in verse 4 of chapter 1 when he said Christ gave himself for our sins. Look at chapter 3, verse 13 of Galatians, where Paul says, Scripture says, the Bible says, God says, those are all equivalent phrases when you're dealing with the Bible. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The answer of God to the problem with man is the death of Christ, where he became a curse on our behalf. That is the only thing that answers the judgment of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, He was acting as a substitute for sinners. He voluntarily, watch this, He voluntarily absorbed God's wrath against our sins. And that should make Christ very precious to you, precious beyond any human relationship, precious beyond any earthly possession, precious beyond life itself. That is how precious Christ is to you. To realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the holy, sinless Savior, gave Himself. No one could take His life from Him, He said in the Gospel of John, but rather He laid it down on His own initiative. Not because He was obligated to you. Christ was not obligated to you. He was not obligated to me. He was under no compulsion from man in order to lay His life down on the cross. He was under no obligation formed by anything that man had done in order to do what He did. No, Christ gave Himself. He voluntarily laid His life down on the cross in order to save us from our sins. And what Scripture says is that God accepts that sacrifice of Christ on the cross. He accepts it as the payment for your sin when you put your faith in Him. When you put your faith in Christ for salvation, Christ will save you. That is why He came. It is God's will for you to be saved from sin by putting your faith in Christ, by trusting Him. By, how can we define faith? I like to define terms. You know that about me. To say that when we call a man to put his faith in Christ, we are calling him to receive Christ as his personal Lord. To receive Him, to yield to Him, to confess Him as God incarnate, as the one who alone was the sin substitute on the cross. To receive Him in that way and to welcome Him and to welcome His authority over your life. To embrace His cross work as the only means of your salvation. And having done so, this blessed word, to rest in Him. To rest in Him. To look for no further things from your own hands, to look to no other, to rest in Christ and say, the work was finished at the cross. There is nothing left for me to do. Jesus paid it all. And so you abandon any efforts at trying to justify yourself, at trying to do good to earn God's favor. You realize that Christ and Christ alone accomplished it at the cross on your behalf. And so for us that have trusted Christ, you know what that means? It means that all of your sins are forgiven, that God will not hold any of your guilt against you. Indeed, the guilt has been removed from your account, and God has deposited, as it were, He has credited to you, He has imputed to you the perfect righteousness of Christ, and it is on the basis of the death and righteousness of Christ that you have a perfect relationship with God now. He receives you fully. Beloved, it's a bold statement, but it is true to say that you have as much right to be in heaven now as Jesus Christ does. Because Jesus Christ is the basis upon which you approach God. And that perfect righteousness has been given to you as a gift. That's why Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12 can say you have bold and confident access to God through faith in Christ. He took the penalty of our sin. We remember that. And beloved, I think that if we're approaching communion rightly, we're approaching it with a great sense of reverence and devotion and affection for Christ. And that affection flows from realizing that you have this blessing of salvation. Why? Because Christ gave Himself for you. He gave Himself. He gladly, voluntarily handed Himself over to the cross that you might be saved. What a blessed Savior. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus Himself said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. When we remember the cross, we remember that Christ was serving us there and giving His life as the ransom which could deliver us from sin. And so our hearts are drawn to love Him, drawn to obey Him, drawn to worship Him. For He did for us what we could not do on our own when He gave Himself for us. We remember that in communion. Christ did more for us. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. He not only took the penalty for our sin, He has also delivered us from the world. He's delivered us from the world. This godless world in which we live corrupts men. And salvation addresses that also. Look at chapter 1, verse 4. Paul said, speaking of Christ, He gave Himself for our sins so that He might rescue us from this present evil age. He gave Himself for our sins as our substitute, and He did that with a purpose in mind to rescue us from this present evil age. To rescue means that He took you out of a danger from which you could not deliver yourself. He delivered you from a bondage when you did not have the keys to the lock on your chains. The chains of your sin, the chains of your self-deception, the chains of the false philosophies that you had drunk in from the world, and that was all energized by dark demonic forces in order to seal you and secure you in your deception so that your soul would end up in a final perdition. You were blind to it all. And what did Christ do? He rescued you from it. The purpose of the cross included that purpose of delivering you from out from under the bondage of Satan and the bondage of lies and delivering you into the kingdom of Christ and into the kingdom of truth. And Christ did that for you voluntarily when He gave Himself for you. He delivered us from bondage and brought us to freedom. Instead of being under the malignant power and domination of the devil, you are now under the good and gracious kingship of Christ, who loves you, who keeps you, who directs you, who has said, "No one will ever pluck you out of my hand." How great is He! How wonderful is this salvation that brings full and free forgiveness of all of your many sins and has delivered you from a wicked foe who would not let you go so that you could be under the gracious hand of a good and holy God who always intends your good. Colossians chapter 1 says that Christ rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Beloved, do you understand that? There is no credit for you to take for your salvation. You were unable to save yourself. You were unable to cleanse the guilt of your sin from your own soul. And furthermore, beloved, and this isn't as often talked about, there was absolutely nothing that you could do to get yourself out from under the power of Satan. You could not get out from that. You were a slave, lost and bound to Him. Scripture says, blinded to do His will. And so, To be a Christian, then, is to be on the receiving end of a miraculous work of Christ to save you and bring you out from that. A gracious work that cleanses you from guilt, that forgives your sin, and that powerfully delivers you from the kingdom of Satan, who did not voluntarily let you go. Satan did not voluntarily surrender you to the kingdom of Christ, but Christ voluntarily surrendered himself to the cross so that you could be, so that that would be guaranteed, so that he would accomplish your redemption. And beloved, he did all of that 2,000 years ago. He secured and made certain your redemption 2,000 years ago before you were even born. And in time, God brought you into the world. In time, the Spirit worked in your heart and applied this to your soul, applied it to your heart, opened your eyes, opened your heart so that you would believe. But all of it guaranteed by a prior choice of God, a prior work of Christ, because Christ gave himself for you. That's what we remember at communion. Your works did not deliver you from this satanic world. Our Lord Jesus Christ did. One final thing that we can say from this passage. We've been saying it all along, really. This great salvation, beloved. Oh, the simplicity of God's word. And yet the profundity of God's word. This great salvation was God's idea. It wasn't yours. God planned it from the start. Look at verse 4. Christ gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present age according to the will of God, our God and Father. Christ was carrying this out according to the will of God, according to a predetermined plan and purpose of God, that you would be included in a future eternal kingdom where you would be part of the bride of Christ with him forever, enjoying his blessing by the will and the purpose of our God and Father. Here's the last thing I want to say before we turn to communion. Those are famous last words. Beloved, you should never think of Christ and his work as reconciling you. Watch this. As though Christ were reconciling you to a reluctant father. As if God the Father really didn't want this to happen, but the Son prevailed upon him. The whole plan was from God the Father. Their purpose was one and the same. John chapter 3 verse 16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This whole thing was the will of the perfect triune God. And yes, our Lord laid his life down, but he did so according to the will of our God and Father. They were on the same page all along. God loved us in that way. And for that we give the glory to him. Look at verse 5. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forevermore. He gave himself for us. He took the penalty of your sin. He took away the guilt of your sin. He delivered you from this wicked, evil world, and he did it voluntarily when he gave himself for you. And beloved, we gratefully remember that love and that voluntary sacrifice.
It should never get old for us to be reminded that God had his salvation plan in place before the creation of the universe. Well, Pastor Don Green has just wrapped up his series titled, He Gave Himself. Join us for more impactful teaching next time on The Truth Pulpit. And Don, right now, would you close us in prayer?
Well, our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
the expression of your love for the world, that you sent a Savior who was sufficient to save everyone who would ever believe in Him. And we pray, Father, for those who know Christ hearing our broadcast today, we pray that you would perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish them in Christ, that they would be safe from the enemy of their souls. And for those, Father, hearing this who are convicted that they don't know Christ, we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in their hearts to make Christ known to them, and that you would draw them to Christ, that they would put their faith in Christ and be saved, and to escape the evil world in which we live and enter onto the path that would lead them safely into heaven. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Don. And friend, don't forget to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com, where you can learn much more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright. Join us next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.